Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
I did not kill my daughter, JonBenet.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And I didn't sleep in the bed with the child. Even if I did, it's okay.
Like, when I got home yesterday, it was like a ghost town. Like, she wasn't here. Kids weren't here. I have no idea, like, where they went.
This is Secrets and Scandals from Beyond the Secret. It's the summer of 1983. Every Breath You Take by the Police has just spent 8 consecutive weeks as the number one song on Billboard's Top 100 chart. The average cost of a new home is $82,600. The Mario Brothers game first debuts as a Nintendo arcade game. Glowworms and Cabbage Patch Kids reign as the most sought-after toy of that year. And in Manhattan Beach, California, a case that would go on to become the longest and most expensive criminal trial in American history is just beginning. This is the case of the McMartin Family Preschool. In everything that I watched and read about this case, they refer to the McMartin Preschool as this, like, exclusive, prestigious preschool. But if I'm honest with you, I feel like it reminds me of that Granny's Daycare by the roller rink.
Nana's Daycare.
It's like the 24-hour daycare.
Yeah, it was, like, off a main road with, like, a chain link fence and, like, kind of creepy play equipment. Maybe it was normal in the 80s, but it looked creepy when we're watching it now.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure in the 80s, but I just think being off the main road like that was a little sketchy. And so when I originally saw the school, I was like, oh, for sure, this is going to be, like, an abduction case because... It's just like a chain link fence. They could easily reach over, grab a kid, and run. But that is not the case. Actually, this case starts on August 12th, 1983, when a woman named Judy Johnson accuses Ray Buckey, the school aide at McMartin Preschool, of sodomizing her 2.5-year-old son, who had been to McMartin School on 10 different occasions. And she claims that, you know, her son had an abnormally itchy butt and was having a difficult time sitting down and going to the bathroom. And she believed it was a result of sexual abuse he had received while at the McMartin Preschool.
Which, like, I'm not trying to make any judgments, but if someone's having a hard time going poop or itchy, I would think there was other things I would think about first before... being sodomized at his preschool.
I think, though, if that was really out of the norm, like, if, I mean, some kids, like, you see them always digging in their buttholes. Like, we had a client tell us about pinworms.
Yeah, don't look.
Don't look pinworms up. But, like, if this was really out of character, like you might think, and he was newer to the school, I feel like this is every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah, totally.
And so... I don't know if that's the route that I would go, but that's the route she went. And that's
where it all started.
So Ray Buckey, he's this 25-year-old guy at the time. He is the grandson of Virginia McMartin, who is actually the founder of the school. And he is the son of Peggy Martin Buckey, who is one of the administrators at the school. The preschool was this entire family business.
Yeah, not up my alley.
No, I would never go in. My family wants to do family businesses all the time, and I would never.
We always say, don't count us in.
I would never have a preschool ever, but I would definitely never have a family business preschool.
Yeah.
But the McMartins did, and it was successful. Now, here's what happened. So, Judy accuses Ray of this, but... Judy's son is actually unable to identify Ray in a photo lineup. And after he was, you know, they did a medical investigation on him, it didn't show any signs of sexual abuse. But police still search Ray Buckey's home and later arrest him on September 7th, 1983. After they arrest Ray, the police chief sends out this letter to over 200 different families who had been involved in the McMartin preschool. And we're not going to read you the whole thing, but there is just some stuff in this letter that I don't know if it was the right idea to include them. At one point in the letter, it says, "We are asking your assistance in this continuing investigation. Please question your child to see if he or she has been a witness to any crime or if he or she has been a victim. Our investigation indicates that possible criminal acts include oral sex, fondling of genitals, buttock, or chest area, and sodomy, possibly committed under the pretense of taking the child's temperature." They go on to ask families to, you know, keep this strictly confidential because of the nature of the charges and the highly emotional effect it could have on our community. Holy shit.
They basically, like, give all of the information from what they've been fed from this lady and say, like, has this ever happened to your kids? Which, so then the parents are going to be like, have you ever gotten your temperature taken at school? Have you ever, all these things? And I feel like you're pretty much... like, just talk to your child. Has anything weird happened at school? I feel like prodding like that would have done better than giving them exactly what happened.
I think the worst possible thing they could have done was send out this letter so incredibly detailed. Like, I feel like there is so many different things they could have done. Like, hey, has your kid had a hard time at school? We would love to talk to you more, like, but detailing all of it in a letter that just went out to the parents without any sort of, like, cautionary pretense of, like, hey, this is going on. Like, I feel like that right there was the very first misstep of this entire case.
And in the letter, it was all about Ray Buckey, and it was like, have they ever observed him leaving the classroom alone? Have they... ever seen him tie a child up? Please, this is important. It's like, okay, are we gonna question anyone else or ask the kids if they've seen anything different at school? Not just like, have you seen him leave the classroom with a child? Maybe, like, that might be normal though.
Yeah. And then 6 months after they released this letter, well, within 6 months, it was claimed that more than 360 children had been abused at the school over the past few years.
Yeah, because children, like, came from who had gone there when they were young and came forward to say things had happened now that they were older, like, even though they didn't go there anymore.
Well, you know, they say keep it confidential, don't talk about this with everybody, but, like... if I got this letter, I think the first thing I would do is reach out to other people who are in the same position and be like, what did you think of this letter? Or, hey, didn't your kids go to the school? You're the one who referred me to the school. Did anything weird ever happen with you? And, like, it spreads quickly.
Obviously got out because they only sent that to 200 people. And then there was 360 people coming forward.
And, well, no, 360 were, like, confirmed. I think even more came forward before that.
Okay.
Because in some of the reports they keep using the number 1100 and 1200, but it came down to 360. And that's the other part. So then the media gets involved and they pick up this story based on the sexual abuse allegations. But the media also picked up on this whole other aspect of the story. And that is these allegations of satanic rituals and stories of, like, animals being tortured and abused in front of the children, and even, like, allegations of children being forced to drink blood.
And I even saw stuff about, like, cutting off babies' heads in front of the other kids. Jesus. Like, that didn't happen.
I think it's important that we mention this. So during the 70s and 80s, we have this whole hysteria moment. It's called the Satanic Panic. So basically, during this time, everyone was freaking out and everyone was under the assumption that their neighbor or someone close to them most likely belonged to a satanic cult of in some sort of way or form. And there was all these books at the time written about, you know, Satanism and people's experiences in these satanic cults. But later they found out that all of these books, all the really big ones at least, were proven to be false. So to us in 2019, this shit sounds fucking crazy. But like in the 1980s, this was common talk. Like, you heard about it in the news. You were reading about it in books. Like, everybody had Satan on their mind.
Yeah. And there was also something like a huge influx of child abuse cases right in a county right near where this was kind of happening. So I think a lot of the social workers and, you know, people in law enforcement had this on their minds because there had been talk of these child abuse cases, satanic ritual abuse cases. And so when it's at the forefront of your mind, that's kind of, you know, what you're thinking about.
Well, I think even now, like in 2019, there are things that we are all very sensitive to in the moment. And it's because it's what's being talked about. It's the things that we're seeing on news. And yeah, like I get it. It's hard for me to put myself in that place because we're not talking about satanic abuse rituals or anything like that right now, but at the time that's what they were talking about. And I think it's just important to mention that because we need to understand the mindset that the entire world was in at the time of this case.
Yeah, it was like when we did the Darlie Routier one.
Yeah.
And everyone was in the mindset of that other mom killing her kids that she like drove off the
yeah.
thing into the water. It's like they had just heard a case of a mom killing her kids and then they hear this. So a lot of people were thinking this could be true. It just happened.
I think exactly. Like, and in that case before Darlie's, it was, you know, everyone was so mad too because that woman had put on this whole show and we thought, oh my God, we feel bad for her. And then all of a sudden we find out she's a liar. So why would we not automatically assume that Darlie is also lying?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds fucking crazy, but that is the mindset that everyone was in. But I want to go back to the Judy Johnson woman for a minute. So she's the mom who first came forward with these allegations against Ray Buckey. And there's some stuff that I think... I know it's important for you to understand about this woman. She was, number one, in the middle of a divorce. That's not easy for anyone to deal with. And she had actually called the McMartin School to arrange daycare for her 2.5-year-old son. But they said, oh, sorry, we're full. We don't have room for him right now. And so what Judy did was she just brought her son to the school, put him in the yard, and left.
Who does that?
Like that's a... Because it wasn't a drop-in daycare. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, sure, come by and...
And, like, not like she signed him in or anything. Just, oh, they'll take care of him. It's a daycare. They're not going to put him out on the street.
Yeah, so she forced her way into the daycare, which...
is really weird.
It's really fucking weird. But it's also really important to note that before she made these allegations against Ray Buckey, she had also made allegations against her estranged husband for molesting their son, against local gym employees for molesting her son, and a Los Angeles school board member for molesting her son.
I would think that if you've had this many accusations, or you've thought this happened to your son this many times, I definitely wouldn't leave him in the yard of a school that I don't even know if he's allowed at.
Yeah, like if that was like something you were very sensitive to.
I'd be very protective of him.
Yeah. And I think the other problem is too is like this is the 80s. So were these allegations being made, like were there reports being written? And if it's the 80s, were they like not able to see like this woman has made multiple reports before in the past? I don't know. But then... after accusing Ray Buckey of sexual abuse, she also claimed that an AWOL Marine had broken into her home and molested her child. There's a lot of, like, it's fixation on molestation of her child, which is really sad because if you think about it, I think a lot of times people can get fixated on that stuff because maybe that happened to them. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to, I mean, fuck, I'll assume all I want because that's what I do on here. But that's, and that's not even, okay, so then the really, really shitty part about this entire thing is they excluded so much of her testimony against Ray Buckey because they knew that there were certain parts they weren't going to be able to sell. And that was that she had reported that Ray Buckey could fly. She claimed another child at the school had been drilled into underneath his arm. And that her son was forced to drink blood and take part in satanic rituals. And that the teachers at the school were like putting staples in his ears and scissors in his eyes.
What, like, why did she keep sending him there if she really thought all this was going on?
Well, and also, I mean, I think if my kid came home with scissors in his eye, that's probably when I would go to the police and say, hey, look, there's a scissor in my kid's eye.
And there should be reports from the emergency room because you'd be bleeding from your eyeballs.
Right. But obviously, none of that stuff happened. And I think what's just so shitty is they purposely excluded that from her testimony because they knew this woman
is crazy.
Yeah. And later they find out they, you know, after people kind of looked into this case from a later perspective, it was said that, like, her allegations came across a lot more as, like, delusions of a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. But it's sad that no one knew that. Like, the defense didn't even know that. They said they couldn't even use that as their defense because they didn't know this about her. They didn't know all these other crazy parts. All they knew was that she said her son was molested at the school, which is not a crazy accusation if you think it happened. But, like,
But also, here's the thing. So Judy Johnson, you know, she kind of started this entire event and got the ball rolling. But once the ball has momentum, there's no slowing it down. Once other parents got on board, it's just like this snowball effect and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it didn't really matter after a while what Judy Johnson said.
Yeah.
And this is the really shitty part. The night before Judy was to appear in court to testify, she was found dead in her house.
That sounds really fishy.
It does. No, like that 100% that sounds fishy. And like in a normal case, I feel like I would be like, oh, fuck, like shit, they killed her off. Like they thought she was going to talk. But actually, she just drank herself to death. She was a known alcoholic and drug use and alcohol abuse all kind of hold hands with schizophrenia really well.
Yeah, and I mean, it could have been a total accident because she was an alcoholic, but it also still seems fishy to me. Like, maybe she didn't want to testify because she knew she was lying. Maybe
she was just nervous. Like, maybe she's like, I have to go to court tomorrow and testify in this huge case, and I'm drinking to just try and deal with the stress of that, and she just drank a little too much. Like, you can't, you know, her liver had to have already been bad.
Yeah, I know, but I just think, what are the chances the night before?
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, but that happens. Okay, so then anyways, I also want to mention that Ray Buckey wasn't the only person who came under investigation in this case. Virginia Martin, his grandma, she was the school owner. His mom, Peggy Buckley, his sister, Peggy Buckley, which, like, I don't know. I know I'm a junior, but, like,
yeah.
Women juniors seem kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
And then several teachers at the school, Marianne Jackson, Betty Rader, and Babette Spittler. They were all charged with 321 counts of abuse involving 48 children.
Holy crap.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And so, okay, let's talk about these claims. Let's talk about
the kids.
The kids, and like how are the kids getting these stories? So after the letter was sent out and like we have all these families coming forward, they start a full-blown investigation into the McMartin preschool. And this group, the CII, which is the Children's Institute International, which is an agency for the treatment of abused children, they have a woman named Key McFarlane. And Key's job in the case was to interview children about what they had experienced during their time at the school. And not like she wasn't a therapist hired to check on the kids and their well-being. Like, she was strictly there to get facts from the kids and, I don't know, guide them along in telling their stories. And in her interviews, you know, she used like puppets and dolls, which makes sense. Like, that's how I would imagine you would interview 3, 4, 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that's really hard about this case is
the kids are so young.
So young. Like, some are 2.5. Like, the woman who claimed this whole thing, the original lady, Judy, her son was only 2.5 years old. Like, 2.5-year-olds hardly know how to talk, yet alone know how to, like, fully express something that is going on.
Yeah, and I can't imagine how hard it would be to interview these young children, but just wait till you hear how she did this.
Okay, so it sounds like a great plan, but unfortunately, Key McFarlane completely just misrepresented herself on her resume to the CII, and she said that she was a therapist for 8 years in private practice dealing with patients, but actually, in reality, she held no professional licenses, and she only had her master's degree in social work. And I don't want to knock social workers' credentials or their importance. I think they're very important people. But I don't know if social work is the right path that you need to be able to properly interview these kids to get the stories out right.
I just think you'd need a licensed therapist. You need the best of the best. This is a huge case.
Yeah, I don't think you need even just a regular therapist. I think you need somebody who's really fucking good at their job.
And who's done this before. Big cases with kids.
And I think that the CII thought that Key was that woman, but she wasn't. And of course, it fucking blew up in everyone's face. You know, her interviews were the driving force behind the entire case, but also later became the most scrutinized part of the case. So she's the person who got these children to really share stories. And these were the stories that were being leaked to the media, the stories that they were, you know, they were going to be talking about in the courtroom and all this stuff. But it was once you saw the tapes, and that was the thing, like, the defense attorney, he was like, oh God, like, they have all these confessions from these kids. Like, this is not looking good. And I remember when we were watching the one documentary, he was like, it wasn't until someone came to me and said, you need to see these tapes.
Yeah. He was like, this is not right.
No. And it was so obvious from watching the tapes that she was
manipulating the kids, basically.
Yeah. Like, she had a system down to, like, kind of force them to say, like, never once did the kids the one who supplied the story. She always supplied the story, and then if they said that it didn't happen, she would keep hounding them and hounding them and hounding them until they would say, yeah, that is what happened.
She was like bullying them, basically, to get what she wanted. And I feel like the kids knew, unless they agreed or said okay, yeah, they weren't gonna be done with the interview.
So originally, I'd kind of imagined to put into this the transcripts from several different interviews, but I feel like it's better if you can read it yourself. I don't think we're the best of actors. But basically,
we could do one.
Okay. Let's do
this one.
Okay. So in this interview, she is interviewing an 8-year-old boy who was 4 at the time that he was at the preschool. Caitlin is going to be playing McFarlane, and I will be playing the boy.
Okay. Here we go. Mr. Monkey is a little bit chicken, and he can't remember any of the naked games, but we think you can. because we know the naked games you were around for, because the other kids told us. It's called Naked Movie Star. Do you remember that game, Mr. Alligator, or is your memory too bad?
I don't remember that game.
Oh, Mr. Alligator.
Well, it's, a little song that me and a friend heard of.
Oh.
Well, I heard out loud someone singing Naked Movie Star, Naked Movie Star.
You know that, Mr. Alligator? That means you're smart. Because that's the same song the other kids knew, and that's how we really knew you're smarter than you look. So you better not play dumb, Mr. Alligator.
Well, I didn't really hear a whole lot. I just heard someone yell it from the... Someone yelled it.
Maybe, Mr. Alligator, you peeked in the window one day and you saw them playing it. Maybe you could remember and help us.
Well, no. I haven't seen anyone playing Naked Movie Star. I've only heard the song.
What good are you? You must be dumb.
Well, I don't really remember seeing anyone play that because I wasn't there when people are playing it.
You weren't? You weren't? That's why we were hoping maybe you saw. See, a lot of these puppets weren't there, but they got to see what happened.
Well, I saw a lot of fighting.
I bet you can help us a lot, though, because, like, Naked Movie Star is a simple game because we know about the game. Because we have had 20 kids tell us about the game. Just this morning, a little girl came in and played it for us and sang it just like that. Do you think if I asked you a question, you could put your thinking cap on and you might remember, Mr. Alligator?
Maybe.
You could nod your head yes or no. Can you remember who took the pictures for the Naked Movie Star game? That would be a great thing to feed into the secret machine, the video camera. And then it would be all gone, just like the other kids did. You can just nod whether you remember or not. Let's see how good your memory is.
Nods puppet's head.
You do? Well, that's remarkable. I wonder if you could hold a pointer in your mouth, and then you wouldn't have to say a word. You could just point.
Places pretend camera on adult male nude doll using alligator puppet. Sometimes he did.
Can I pat you on the head for that? Look what a big help you can be. You're going to help all these little children because you're so smart. Okay, did they ever pose you in funny poses for pictures?
Well, it wasn't a real camera. We just played...
Mr. Alligator, I'm going to ask you something here. Now, we already found out from the other kids that it was a real camera, so you don't have to pretend, okay? Is that a deal?
Yes, it was a play camera that we played with.
Oh, and it went flash?
Well, it didn't exactly go flash.
It didn't exactly go flash? Went click? Did little pictures go zip, come out of it?
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't remember that? Well, you're doing pretty good, Mr. Alligator. I gotta shake your hand.
So you can see, like, in this interrogation, it's like if she didn't say no, then he kind of got in trouble.
Yeah, and she was like, the other kids already told us that you played Naked Movie Star.
Okay, let's talk about the Naked Movie Star really quick, because that's this really weird part of this whole story. And you said...
I read something that made it sound like, and I can't remember, of course, our research is always great here, but it was something like, you know, like the little songs you do as a kid, like... Double, double, this, this, double, double, that, that. Or like, you know, trick or treat, smell my feet. Something like that. It was like something. And then it was like, if you're not this, you're a naked movie star. Like, it wasn't a real game. And I don't think they were really playing Naked Movie Star.
Well, I mean, the 80s were a fucking weird time. And I think there was a lot of porn and stuff. I don't know. Like, again, it sounds very weird to us now, but I don't really have a whole lot of frame of reference for this Naked Movie Star.
Yeah, but a lot of those silly songs sound weird. Like the Halloween one, you like lift your shirt up and say, dirty knees, look at these. Like, I mean, it sounds weird, but kids do it.
Oh my God. So yeah, so they kind of use this Naked Movie Star as a jumping off point for all these kids. And what was that other interview you said you read?
Oh, it was one and it was like, did you play the Naked Movie Star game? And they're like, it's okay if you did. Like, there's a lot of naked kids here who want to play it. And it's okay to play naked games. So did you play it? Yes or no? Like, they kept just saying like, oh, it's a good game. We like to play it. There's other, you know, they just kept leading her on to say like, yeah, I played Naked Movie Star.
So we have all these interviews going on. And then we also have a woman named Dr. Astrid Heger. And she is a pediatrician who also works for the Children's Institute International. And she's the one who did all of the, like, medical investigations on the kids. And she concluded, from her findings that 80% of the children she examined from the school had been molested, but not based on findings of physical evidence, but on medical histories and her belief that any conclusion should validate the child's history. I don't even know what the fuck that means, but
she just means their past medical history shows signs of sexual abuse, even though there's not physical evidence now. Like,
I just think about being a fucking jury member and hearing, oh, this woman says 80% of these kids, a pediatrician is saying 80% of these kids have been sexually assaulted, and she did all of these medical investigations on them. But not, she wasn't basing it off of the physical parts that were in front of her. It was just like, looking at all this together, yes, I would say they've been molested.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Because to me, that makes it sound like, you know, they say like kids who like poop the bed for a long time or something show signs of sexual abuse. Like, so was she looking at things like that? That
I wet the bed till I was 14.
That's a sad story.
Okay, there's one more thing that I do want to tell you about from one of these interviews because it really stood out at me. And it's when actually Dr. Heeger is interviewing a six-year-old girl about the naked movie star and everyone being naked and all this stuff. And the girl keeps saying, no, no, that didn't happen. Like, she just keeps saying, no, no, no. And then Heeger responds by saying, Heeger's playing, you know, detective dog, and the girl is being a bird. Again, there was puppets and stuff involved. And Heeger says, bird is having a hard time talking. I don't want to hear any more no's. No, no. Detective dog, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, it's like, don't say no anymore. And when you tell a young kid not to say no anymore, they're going to listen. They're not, they don't know to say, you know.
They're scared. They're scared they're going to get in trouble. I mean, kids are always scared they're going to get in trouble.
And typically kids listen to adults. So if she's saying don't say no, they're not probably not going to say no anymore.
And you know that this is a doctor. Like,
someone you can trust.
And it also, like, someone in an authoritative position, you're going to listen. Yeah. So the media goes wild with all of this. Like, the McMartin case blows up and it is everywhere all across the world. And this fucking domino effect started to happen. And it was all these different schools, like daycare centers across the United States, started having these child abuse allegations of sexual abuse and satanic rituals, like same thing. And I think, okay, so the reason I want to mention that is because if it's all over the news. So let's imagine the letter that first went out to the parents. It created this mass hysteria amongst the parents of, oh my God, this probably happened to my kid. Well, now it's on the news, and it's creating this mass hysteria of parents across the United States feeling like, could this be happening at my daycare?
Yeah, and they're probably all starting to question their kids because they're like, maybe they didn't think about this happening before at their kid's daycare, and now they're scared and worried and they want to do what's right for their kids, so they're going to start asking questions and maybe blaming people if they think something seems off.
Well, I think it's a total play on people's emotions. I think you're always scared of whoever you're going to leave your kid with. I can't imagine, like, the first time you take your kid to a daycare center, you're like, peace, bitch, and, like, just bounce. Like,
no.
It's a hard thing to be like, I'm trusting complete strangers with my child for the entire day while I'm at work.
Exactly.
So and then you're just... You already have this heightened sense of fear, and then someone tells you this is what happened at this one school, you're going to start to become sensitive to that.
Exactly. I think I even think about, like, you know, things that are happening now, like the movie theater shooting. Like, people go to the movie theaters now, and you didn't used to think about someone coming in, but now you do.
I get super scared in movie theaters.
Yeah, because you're worried. It's something that's in your mind. It's something that's happened, and you're kind of just thinking, sensitive. I didn't think that could happen before, but now you're sensitive to it. So I think for sure if I saw people, this happening at another daycare and my child is in a daycare, I would be skeptical and start questioning and really be sensitive to it.
And so, okay, I'm going to be honest. When I first heard the title of the case and just read the info, so there's a documentary on Oxygen, that's kind of what got us completely turned on to this case. Yeah. I was just like, fuck them. Fuck the McMartins. Fuck Ray Buckey. Like, of course he did this. Because why the fuck would a 4, 5-year-old, why would kids that age lie about this? And kids that age, they don't know this stuff. So in my head, I mean, we're human. We jump to conclusions. I assumed they were guilty and that this was just going to be the story telling us about all the stuff that they did.
Yeah, but once we started watching more, I mean, we started hearing all these things that we've been telling you guys, and it just doesn't add up that it happened.
Because, okay, so some of the kids also gave stories to investigators of being flushed down toilets into secret rooms. There was orgies at car washes. They're being flown by airplane to different places for the abuse to take place.
And hot air balloons. I heard people saying they were in hot air balloons.
Yeah, they said that Ray Bucky took them by hot air balloon.
And witches flying around the school. Like,
one kid even, like, they did a photo lineup for this child, and she picked out Chuck Norris as her assailant. Is that the word?
Abuser.
Abuser. That's probably the word. I don't know. So, like, you know, it's... But this isn't the stuff that they were sharing with the media, and it's stuff that they were trying to keep out of the courtroom.
Yeah, because they don't want to add the crazy stuff in, because then no one will believe it. And I don't really know what the purpose... I don't know if they wanted these people to go down for something they didn't do or what, but I just think...
I don't think it's that. I think in their mindset, the thought process is like... Here's the thing. The investigators are trusting the interviews.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll even go as far as to say that McFarlane was... She trusted the intuition of Judy Johnson and went off of her narrative without realizing she was this insane schizophrenic woman. I don't want to say insane, but this schizophrenic woman.
Yeah, exactly.
So if... And I'll be honest with you, I'm not good at being unbiased. So if someone came to me and said, hey, I think my kid says they were molested at this school, I'm going to take them at that. And there's no way I'm going to be able to not leave part of my heart out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But also, like, we watched the documentary, we've done research, and there's just not really... I mean, we are biased, and our research is not the greatest, but I just didn't see a lot of things that made the other side believable.
And so, you know, not only is it everyone involved in the case, but the media focuses on this story. They don't focus on any of this crazy shit. Like, any of these crazy allegations, the media is not reporting. They're only reporting on the stuff that they can... you know, that is believable or that they can play on the emotions of their audience, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's tough.
It is tough.
Okay, I want to talk about this part because I think it's really important, and it's a part that whenever you research this case, it's brought up a lot. Still to this day, people argue whether or not it is true, and there's rumors that it is true, but... they even did an investigation in it and found that it wasn't true. But anyways, so during the preliminary hearing, a boy gave a testimony about these secret tunnels and secret rooms that he was taken to when the abuse would happen. And, well, the first part that's shitty about that allegation is that boy was at the school during a time that Ray Bucky didn't yet work there.
Okay, so that's totally, like, there's no way he could have been guilty for that if he didn't work there.
You would think. But they still took this whole idea of these tunnels and secret rooms, and they ran with it. And so, that you know, they asked kids about these secret rooms and tunnels, and they actually ended up having 11 children in total give locations of these trap doors around the school they talked about. But not, like, no two children gave the same location for those doors.
And when I think about, like, secret tunnels and trap doors and 2 and 3 year olds, I'm thinking, could they have just been playing some game? Could they be like, we're gonna go over to the secret tunnel? Or
and they did, like, they had tunnel thing, like, you know, when you're a kid and you like
playground things.
Well, yeah, but it was like inside. Like they had like I read the dimensions. It was like 18 inches wide by like 21 inches tall. So
like those fold up tunnel things.
I think
like they have the gymnastics places.
Yeah, well, my fat ass could not fit in them. But they did have those. So they did think about that. They're like, you know, could this be the reason why the kids are talking about these secret tunnels? And I feel like when I was a kid, I was obsessed with the idea of like
secret hiding spots and like secret. We're gonna play over here in the secret door.
But so they searched the entire school. Actually, before they searched the school, a lot of the kids were pointing them in the direction of these tunnels and rooms being actually in the empty lot next to the school. So they excavated the land and they found nothing. So then parents of the school actually got together, they got a backhoe, and they dug up the land even more and still found no traces of tunnels or secret rooms or anything like that. But that is the same time, like once they found out that there was no secret rooms or tunnels in the land next to them, then the story started changing in the interviews. And the secret doors and tunnels and rooms were actually underneath the school.
Okay, so then, like, I think we even read it was built on a poured concrete pad and that you couldn't cover up these tunnels. Like, they would have been able to see if word got out and they were like, oh shoot, we need to cover up all our secret trap doors and our tunnels, that it would have been obvious, right?
Well, yeah, no, so there's literally a thing, it's fucking Wikipedia, but it talks about how, like, if you were to patch concrete, it's very, very obvious. Like, no one can do it, so you wouldn't be able to tell. So when they pulled up the tiles and the carpet and stuff, they would have been able to see if the concrete had been patched anywhere.
Yeah.
So that, they never found any evidence of that happening. But in our very limited research on this,
and like watching one documentary.
No, I did more research than watching one documentary.
But and Wikipedia.
And more than Wikipedia. I jumped around. I was on the Los Angeles Times and it timed me out and said, you've read too many articles this month.
Oh, shoot.
So yeah, I was doing my due diligence. But in the documentary that kind of started us on this whole thing, it's on Oxygen. It's called Uncovered: The McMartin Family Trials.
You should watch it. It's kind of slow, but
it is kind of slow.
It'd be good to watch after we gave you all of our research, because
I think our research is better.
Probably, but maybe it'd make more sense.
But you know what it will do is I feel like it will kind of make you question things, because in the documentary, there is this woman named Elizabeth Siafi, and she was actually one of the students at the McMartin School during the time of all these allegations. And to this day, Elizabeth still believes that all of these things happened to her. She believes in the secret tunnels. She even described the secret tunnels and said that there was like drawings of like devil heads. She was like, they could have been devil heads or they could have been bull heads on the sides of the walls. She described like candles on like a walkway down, which I'm not trying to discredit her, but that sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
If these tunnels are really under the school, would there really be like candlelight, or would Ray have just had a flashlight that he used to walk down them?
I don't know. This is like the only part of the story that like has me questioning it. But I also think she was so young. Like, I don't remember stuff from when I was 3 or 4. And like, I feel like if my parents, or if I knew that all this happened, maybe I could have just believed it, or kind of like made myself believe that this was true. And if I always heard talk about secret tunnels, I'm sure I could like imagine it in my mind, these secret tunnels.
See, this is where I did my research, because in the early 90s, there's all these studies that were done about how psychologists might be inadvertently implanting false memories of child sexual abuse into their clients. So because they're talking about it, because when a young kid, like I said, they don't have the proper vocabulary to describe the things that are happening to them. So if a psychologist, you know, kind of keeps poking and prodding, they might give the kid this idea that
something did happen.
Yes.
It's kind of like how sometimes people think that like therapy brings up more issues because you go back to things or maybe focus on things more than what even really happened, and you remember it as something bigger or something more traumatic to you.
Yeah. Well, that's your belief. Okay, but anyway, so in the documentary, Elizabeth's mom, she's accompanied by her parents in this documentary, and her mom recounts the story of bringing Elizabeth to the school, because I think that after Ray was arrested and all this is going on, the school like shut down and it became just this abandoned building. And she remembers taking Elizabeth to the school to try and see if she had any memories of where the tunnels or trapdoors or secret rooms might be. And while they were there, she brought her into this one bathroom, and Elizabeth said, "This is where the door to the secret hallway is, or secret tunnel." And, you know, she started pounding around on the walls trying to see if she could find anything, but they didn't find anything. And so later, another day, maybe weeks later, Elizabeth's mom returns to the school, but without Elizabeth. But this time she has one of her friends and her friend's daughter, who also went to the school. And as they get into that bathroom, apparently the girl said the same thing as Elizabeth. "This is how I got into the secret tunnels. This is the room where you get in there."
That is super weird.
It's super weird, but okay, think about it. I'm just trying to imagine, number one, the drive to the school, like the girl's in the back seat, and maybe Elizabeth's mom is saying to her friend, like, you know, Elizabeth saw something in the bathroom, and she said, "They're like, you." Everyone thinks kids aren't listening, but kids are so fucking nosy.
Yeah, they're always listening.
Or what if Elizabeth's mom had mentioned it to her friend ahead of time, and, you know, her friend had questioned her daughter, like, "Did you see anything in the bathroom? Was there something in the bathroom? What about the bathroom?"
Yeah, or, like, how are we not to know that the mom's like, "Was the secret door in the girl's bathroom? Did you see the secret door? Is that where you played in the tunnel?" Or maybe they did. Maybe there was, like, some sort of a tiny door, like, air conditioning unit or something like that, that they would say, like, "That's the secret door to the thing." Like, maybe it was...
Well, nothing. I think they would have... Well, I'd hope they would have mentioned that. But I think it's... It's just, I don't think that Elizabeth's mom or Elizabeth's mom's friend or any of these people were trying to coach these kids into believing this. I think they were so scared and fearful and stuff that they just wanted answers. And so maybe to them, it seemed like, you know, when someone thinks they're really good at like being coy about something,
yeah,
but they're super fucking obvious. Like, maybe to Elizabeth's mom it was like, "Oh, and here's the girl's bathroom," and then to her, the way she replays it in her mind is like the girl was like, "This is where the tunnels were." Yeah. But what if it was really Elizabeth's mom was like, "What about in this bathroom? Were there tunnels in here? Are you sure there weren't any tunnels in here? Tell me if there were tunnels in here. Like, I need to know, where were the tunnels?" We don't know. We don't know any of that. And it's not that, like...
Like, this is the only part that's so weird to me. But I just think... I don't know. I do think there could be so many explanations. We don't know how it was told. And also, it was, like, 4 years later or something, right? She was older. Wasn't she?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that was pretty recent after it all happened. And I don't think that Elizabeth is lying. And I don't think that her parents are lying. I don't think anyone's intentionally trying to lie or spin stories. I think that they are all victims, but I think that they're not victims of the crimes that they think they are. Like, I don't think that these crimes were committed. I think that Key McFarlane has a huge hand in all of this, and she fucked with everybody. I think Judy Johnson is the real fucking one who fucked with everybody, because she got the whole situation started.
Yeah.
And I think that you want to... It's not that you want to believe that these things happened to your kid, but you also want to make sure you did every possible thing to protect them and to get them the help that you wanted. So I think, you know, Elizabeth's parents were under the impression, like, "We're helping our daughter. We want to help her."
Well, and if you think someone hurt your kid, of course you're going to go through everything to get these people behind bars or charged with what happened, you know?
It's so sad. It's just crazy how all of this whole thing unfolded. Eventually, all charges against Ray Buckey and everyone else involved in the McMartin School trials were either acquitted or dismissed. And the trial lasted 7 years.
That's so long.
And cost $15 million. And resulted in absolutely no convictions.
That's crazy.
The school was later closed and the building was dismantled. And I just think...
We should drive by it next time we're there.
Well, it's a laundromat now.
Oh.
I would still drive by it, though. I just think about... Like, I get really... I don't know why I do this, but I get really sad when businesses go out of business. Like, if a small mom and pop shop goes out of business, I get very affected by it. And I'm like, I wish I had gone there more. I wish I had supported them more. And it's just like, this school was this lady's legacy.
Like, well, I know they would never want to open another preschool, but at the same time, it's just so sad. Like, that was their business. That was their life. All of them worked there. And now they could never reopen or do this again, because I think most people still believe they're guilty, even though they were
charged
for it. But
Well, I mean, look, Elizabeth herself believes that this man, even just having one person out there believe that you did these things to them, has got to be such a mind fuck.
Yeah, and I can't imagine going through this for 7 years. Like, I mean, their lives were ruined.
There was an interview that Ray Buckey did after the trial ended. And I think Larry King is the one. Larry King asked him, he was like, what is one thing that you want? And Ray says, I just want to be left alone. Like, that's so sad.
I would move to another country and start over.
It's and so
sad.
Yeah, the whole thing is sad.
But it's sad for the kids, too, that really think something happened to them, or the parents.
There's not one person who I don't feel bad for in this. I just don't believe that it happened.
I agree. I think there's more evidence proving it didn't happen
than it did. They searched the entire school, and there was nothing. There was no sign of, you know, with all these things that they're being said, they were like, there should be some sort of, like, bodily fluids that are Ray's, and should be blood, because they said that they were torturing animals in front of the kids, and
they didn't find any, like, pictures or videos, right, from the Naked Movie Star game or the cameras they said were there.
No. They found in Ray Buckey's home, as a 25-year-old man in the 80s, they found one Playboy magazine.
Which is normal.
And a teddy bear. But, like, I don't think it was, like, his teddy bear. I don't think he was creepy. I think it's just, like, he had a teddy bear in the house somewhere. And that's the stuff that they confiscated from him. And then in 2005, there's this huge bombshell. I believe it to be a bombshell.
I think it's a big deal.
I don't think it's like, I mean, obviously the trial had ended, everyone was acquitted or charges were dismissed, but I think this is a really big deal.
Especially all these years later.
So in 2005, a man named Kyle Zerpolo, who was 30 at the time, wrote an article for the Los Angeles Times titled "McMartin Preschooler, I Lied," in which he wrote, "As a child, I remember them asking me extremely uncomfortable questions about whether Ray touched me and about all the teachers and what they did. And I remember telling them nothing happened to me. I remember them almost giggling and laughing, saying, oh, we know these things happened to you. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us? Use these dolls if you're scared. Anytime I would give them an answer that they didn't like, they would ask again and encourage me to give them the answer they were looking for. It was really obvious what they wanted. Never did anyone do anything to me, and I never saw them doing anything. I said a lot of things that didn't happen. I lied. I felt uncomfortable and a little ashamed that I was being dishonest. But at the same time, being the type of person I was, whatever my parents wanted me to do, I would do."
Everybody has a secret.